Are we past Charmain Hill, or are we still?
Well, no, we're still Charmain Hill. We'll be with Charmain Hill for a little bit.
I like them.
Get comfortable. Morning, everyone. Today's Daf Nidah, Daf Dalid, and we're on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. We're starting today with the Simanim of Shulayim, Bedukim, Mechusim, Bezavis. Okay, you'll see what all the Simanim mean in just a moment. You go back to yesterday's Daf, and really it's a continuation of the first Daf. And okay, so these first three Dafim of Nidah are really just one thread and one thought. And that's the following. A woman bleeds and she now becomes a need and her status changes. So when exactly did that change occur? So Shammai says now. Shammai says, yeah. When she sees the blood, so her status occurred. Any moment before that point in time, she's not Tamea. She's Tahora. And only now that she knows that she's bleeding, she sees she's bleeding, only now is she going to be Tamea. That's called Dayan Shaita. Right, that the time now is sufficient. We do not go back. We don't extend her tuma any way backwards. That is the opinion of Shammai. Hillel says, no, you go back because you don't know. You don't know when the onset of her nida was. And so it's possible that she was a nida now, but it's possible also that the blood was hanging around the coastal Beis HaRachem. So it's possible that she was a nida prior to that. When? You don't know. So you just keep going back. What point do you go back to? So the Hillel says that you go back to the last time she did an examination. She did a bedika. That is the position of Hillel. Aaron, you asked me a question the other day. Is Hillel arguing on a Doraisa level, or is he just arguing on a Darabanan level? Yeah. It will be clear from today's Gemara. Okay, not clear. It will seem from today's Gemara that he's only arguing with Darabanan. But fundamentally, he agrees with Shammai. Okay, and I'll alert you to where I think the Gemara pretty much says it. Okay, and then finally, there's a third opinion in the Mishnah, which is the opinion of the Chachamim. But we'll talk about the Chachamim at a later point in time, actually a later point in time this morning. Okay, but we'll come back to the Chachamim later. Okay, that is the opinion of Shammai and Hillel. What's behind Shammai? What's the rationale behind Shammai? So if you remember yesterday, the Gemara gave not one, not two, not three, four different explanations in terms of what's behind Shammai. The first explanation is Chazaka, meaning she was she told from the mikvah, she's Tahara. So that Chazaka, that status continues until you know otherwise. When she starts bleeding, then now her status changes. But prior to that point in time, she had a Chazkas Tahara. So that Chazaka, that status is going to continue, and that will maintain. That is explanation number one of Shammai. Explanation number two of Shammai Hargasha. She feels it. She feels when it's coming. She did not feel prior to this moment in time that she had a Hargasha. The Gemara says the Hargasha is so strong it would have woken her up at night. The Hargasha is so strong she would have felt it at pretty much any point in time. She didn't feel it prior to this point in time. That means it probably wasn't here prior to this point in time. That's explanation number two. Explanation number three of the Gemara, blood would have just come out. Meaning Shammai just basically disagrees with this whole concept that the blood kind of just lingers on in the coastal Beis HaRachem. No. Once the blood leaves the uterus, the assumption is it's going to continue to go down and drop out of her body.
And then you have a bayan rabbi Meich.
Right, and then very good. That was the Gemara's nafkamina for the third explanation. And finally, the fourth explanation of the Gemara is bitul piri v'rivya. Meaning, you go around, you start telling people, you know, she's not tummy when she's a nida, but she's tummy at an earlier point in time when? We don't know. We don't know. So then the husband is now going to have it creep into his mind thoughts of his wife possibly being a nida, and he won't fulfill the mitzvah of onah. He won't be mekayim the mitzvah puru revu, and so it won't be a good situation. So the chachamim, so not to discourage the husband from being with his wife, so the chachamim said dai shaita. Okay, that's the four explanations of Shammai. Okay, now only one thing we really need to do in order to go on in the Gemara. That's pretty much a review of yesterday's daf and daf base as well, more or less. We just have to do one thing and go over one brisa. Yeah? The brisa that we need to go over is towards the top of Gimel Amud Beis. I'm a lo Hillel Shammai. I'm not starting today's daf. This is still a review, but we need it, though, because half of today's daf, right, Dalet Amud Aleph, is all based on this one brisa. I'm a lo Hillel. I'm on like six lines down from the top of Gimel Amud Beis. I'm a lo Hillel Shammai. So Hillel says the following to Shammai. E atamoda bekupa shenishtamshu ba taharas bezavazu v'nimtzasheretz bezavazacheretz shetaharas arishonas tameos allow me to ask you the following. Says Hillel Tashamai. How about we have a chest? And we've been putting taharas in the chest. Taharas just simply means anything that is tahor. Examined, not tame, tahor. Good. And I've been putting taharas in that chest all day today. And I've taken taharas out of that chest also as well. And then later today, what happens? We find a sheretz in that chest. Now, where was that sheretz earlier? I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe it was here, maybe it was not here. Don't you agree with me, says Shammai de Hillel, that everything in that chest earlier today is Tamei? Right? You agree with me to that. So in other words, you see that we go backwards. Huh? Hillel Shammai. Yeah, if I said otherwise, I misspoke. So Hillel says to Shammai, you agree with me, don't you, that we're going to go backwards and everything in that chest is going to be Tamei? So Amar lo. So the response that Shammai says back to Hillel is Aval. Remember I said this yesterday. Aval over here means not just but. Yes, I agree with you. Yes, what you're saying is true. Now we could say it. But Aval Uma Hefresh Ben Zulazu Zulazu Yesh Lashalayim Lazu Ein Lashalayim. So the Gemara says, but don't you see a difference? In the case of the chest, it's a self-contained container. It's enclosed. And so therefore, I find a sheretz in there. So there's a good indication. That sheretz has been there for some time. I just didn't notice it earlier in the day. But there's a very good indication. It's an enclosed area. The sheretz was there prior to that. So I'm not going to just simply say the whatever's in the chest is tummy now. I'm going to say that that's tummy going back earlier in time. However, when it comes to the woman, it is ein la shulaim. She doesn't have a bottom. Meaning that when she starts bleeding, the bleeding comes right out of her. The blood comes right out of her. So she doesn't have shulayim, so to say. And so therefore, I see a big difference between the case of a container and the case of a woman.
Is a machlekes
Kind of. In other words, yeah, they are noting the physical differences between a chest and a woman. Yeah. Okay. Now, I'll avoid today to objectify. I will try to avoid it. Okay, and that takes us now to today's daf. Now today's daf is going to begin on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, and we start now Itmar. Okay, now all this is going to sound familiar, but what we're going to be doing now is not a machlokas amongst the time; it's a machlokas amongst the Amorayim. Kupa shenisham shabbat taurus bezavet zuvanim sasheretz bezavet zacheres. Okay, case is going to sound really familiar. Well, I was working with the chest, and I had taharas in the chest all day, and I put it in, I took it out, and then later that day, I find a sheretz in the opposite corner of this kupa, of this chest. So Chizkiah says, you're fine. Everything that was done in the morning is fine. All the taharas that were there are fine. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar taharas harishonos tameos. And Rabbi Yochanan says the taharas harishonos are tamei. Now, so far, how's this coming out?
It's contradicting both you and
Shammai. Well, yeah. And so, in other words, we had in the Braisa a moment of agreement between Hillel and Shammai, where Hillel and Shammai both agree that the case of the kupa is different. Why? Because it's an enclosed area. So they said, yes, we're going to go back retroactively. Of course, because it's an enclosed area. Good. Now, they're tanaim and they agree. So, it's a simple question now. If we have two tanaim agreeing to something, how can the Namora come along later and say, I disagree?
He can't be.
Right. He has to find a Tana, and he's not going to find one because Hillel and Shammai both agree. Correct. So it's going to be a problem. Now, the Gemara now articulates exactly this question. So the Gemara says now, how can I have a machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Chizkiah? Now, the question is not really on Rav Yochanan, right? Rav Yochanan is singing the same song that Hillel and Shammai are singing. The question really is on Chizkiah. How can Chizkiah say that we don't go back retroactively in the case of Kupa when Hillel and Shammai say we do? So Tameis Kimod, I'm sorry, Kimod Shammai veHillel beKupa sheish laShulaim kipli gechizkiah veRav Yochanan beKupa sheein laShulaim. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll have to say like this. That Hillel and Shammai are arguing about a chest that's enclosed on all six sides. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, top, bottom, and four sides. So they're in full agreement, Shammai and Hillel. and for the reasons which I think are obvious. Once it's enclosed, and once it's enclosed on all six sides, and I find a sheretz later on that day, okay, I don't have an explanation. Sheretz must have been there earlier before. It must have just missed my attention. Fine. And then Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan are arguing about a kupa that doesn't have shulayim. Now Rashi over here describes, I'm not going to do this, but if you can imagine now, my cup being the chest, Rashi describes that it was put on its side, and you kind of store it, in other words, it was open on the top and it was open on the bottom. But in other words, so it was kind of...
There was a way for a little rodent.
Yeah, rodent could have climbed in at a later point in time. And that's why there's a machlokas. So the Gemara says, Ein la shulayim, my time to Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, okay, so, but if there's no shulayim, now Chizkiah's position seems to be the more logical position. Because Chizkiah is saying that, you know, it could be the sheretz came in at a later point in time. It's open on two ends now. And the sheretz could have easily just have crawled in. Okay, thank you. So the Gemara says, V'yeshlau gnayim. Oh, there's my kupa. You know, it's funny. I'll make a comment later. So my time to Rav Yochanan, Ein la shulayim, V'yeshlau gnayim. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the case would be the following. Maybe it doesn't have a bottom, but it has an ogan, it has a rim. And so what we're trying to describe right now is not something which is totally enclosed and totally contained, but something that has some sort of rim around the top. Rashi describes that the beams of the barrel go in just a little bit, so it creates a somewhat contained area, so that if I tilt it and there would be a sheretz inside, the sheretz could still be kept inside by the ognayim, by the rim around the barrel. Okay, good. So, So the Gemara says, okay, but let's start off over here. Good. So now we have a machlokes between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan. And it doesn't cross the path of Shammai and Hillel, because Shammai and Hillel, we're talking about a totally enclosed box, my box over here. This is Shammai and Hillel, and Rav Yochanan and Chizkiah are talking about something that's not enclosed. It's semi-enclosed, as now the Gemara, helps sharpen the case a little bit, so that it has a rim around. So the Gemara says, I'm going to ask you the following question. V'atanya, amad la sar delayim mayim b'zachar zevenim sesheretz b'echad me'em, hu tamid v'kul antahorin. Let's say I take a bucket, and I draw water with this bucket, and I draw once, and I draw twice, and I draw 10 times. And every time I draw water, then I take the water and I pour it into a larger barrel. Good. And then, let me make this dramatic. And now at the 10th time that I drew up the water, I look in the bucket and there's a sheretz in the bucket. Okay. I didn't see the sheretz when I drew it the first time, nor did I see the sheretz when I drew it the 9th time. Only now, huh?
Is there a rim or no rim?
It's a bucket. So
is it clear water?
It's open on the top. Is it clear water? It's from the well. I didn't directly answer your question. You noticed that, right? Now, so So now, this is a brisa, and the brisa says that when I drew times 1 through 9, it's fine. The water is tahora. The water is. It's assumed that there was no sheretz in the bucket when I drew the first time, and I drew all the way up to the 9th time. Now, this is only true if there is no rim. But if there is a rim. Now, when it says rim over here, I assume it means a rim over the top. Meaning, we're talking about drawing water over here, so I can't imagine that it's open on both ends. Kind of like what we were describing earlier. Because... it's going to be hard to draw water if there's no bottom to this bucket. It'll be challenging. Let's put it that way. So I imagine when it says rim, it means the rim over the top. So the Gemara says kulan. I'm sorry. Aval yesh lagnai kulan tameim. If there's a rim over the top, so then not only is this bucket of water going to be tamei, but the first 9 are going to be tamei as well. Because every time I pour the water out, if there's a rim on the lid on the edge, so you can assume that rim held back the sheretz. and the Sheretz has been there earlier. So Lema, so now, this is not as problematic, because this is a statement made by Reish Lakish in the name of Rabbi Yanai. Okay. So, but Lema, but at least it creates a small issue in that Chizkiah Leis to Rabbi Yanai.
By the way, Steinzel seems to indicate that the water was clear because he said that you would have seen it before.
Yeah, okay. I'm fine with that. Well, that's fine. So Chizkiah Leis to Rabbi Yanai. So the problem is Chizkiah not going to be in agreement with Rabbi Yanai? Because remember, Chizkiah said that even with a rim, it could be that there was no sheretz there before. And what Rabbi Yanai is saying is that in the case of drawing the water, where there's a rim, the rim is going to hold back the sheretz. Meaning that it's the plausible explanation is that there's been a sheretz there all the time. So the Gemara says that we're comparing now a basket of fruit and a bucket of water, and the Gemara is basically going to say they're not comparable. Why? So the Gemara is going to say, to me, it sounds like almost like the Gemara is saying the same thing, just do two different ways. Number one, says the Gemara, Maya Sharke, Perlo Sharke. Water is smooth. Water glides. Meaning that when I pour water out of a bucket, I don't need to tip the bucket over. I just simply pour it on its side. And so therefore, the rim is going to catch the sheretz. The water will empty and the rim will catch the sheretz. However, when it comes to a bucket of fruit, a basket of fruit, I got to flip it over. I got to really shake it out. So every time I empty out the bucket, I'm probably emptying out all of its contents. Okay? Or the Gemara says, Inami mayelo kapit alayu peri kapit alayu. It sounds the same. Meaning, by water, I'm not so makpid. Meaning, I'm not there to get out every drop of water from the bucket. I'll get out most of the water, but that means I'm not flipping over the bucket. So that means the sheretz is here now. It probably was here earlier. In the case of the barrel of fruit, there I'm makpid. I want to get every fruit out. So again, it's that scene of the person shaking out the barrel of fruit to get every fruit out. And if there was a sheretz there earlier, there's no way he would have stayed in there. He would have been contained. Okay. Ibai Sema, or the Gemara says like this. Now, essentially, what are we doing right now? Okay, because now you're going to understand the simanim. We had an agreement between Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai says that when a case comes to the case of the kupa, of the chest, so there we're in full agreement, I find a sheretz there. Now, we go back l'mafreya, which is not true by the woman, because the woman ain't la shulayim. She doesn't have a bottom. Good. So, but now the Gemara wants to know, how is that different than the opinion of Chizkiah? Because Chizkiah says, pretty much in this very exact scenario, Chizkiah says that we don't go back. So what's our first answer? The first answer the Gemara gave, which we basically already finished up, is that we're talking about a kupa shein la shulayim. Right? It doesn't have a bottom. We're talking, the case is that it's not an enclosed chest. That's answer number one. The Gemara now is going to go through three more answers, right? Four answers in total, and that's your simanim, meaning when we start off the whole sugya. You see the simanim on the top? Shulayim, Bedukim, Mechusim, Bezavis. So now the Gemara is going to give three other explanations in terms of what's the difference between the case of Hillel and Shammai versus the Chizkiah position over here. Ibai Seima, we're on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. Where we did an examination of the chest. The machlok is between, in other words, Hillel and Shammai are talking about where you did no examination. So in other words, I found a dead sheretz in here. It was not pre-checked, meaning the chest. Okay, so you understand. It makes perfect sense. I'm going to go back and I'm going to assume that sheretz has been there for a while. Masha Ein Kein, the kupa over here was checked and what was examined. Kipligi Chizkiah Rav Yochanan b'kupa beduka. Mar Savar Habatka. So now Chizkiah's position, that's easy. That's an easy position to understand. We checked it.
How did the
get in there? And Mar Savar Amarim Silukiyando Nafal. And what Rav Yochanan will argue against Chizkiah is, even though you did an examination, but right as you were closing the chest, right after the examination, the sheretz kind of just jumped right in. Okay, and then died inside the kupa. Okay. Now, v'hadumya de'isha, here's the problem. The problem is like this. Remember that in that brisa, the whole conversation of Hillel and Shammai, wasn't really about kupa. It's what's the difference between a kupa and a woman? Okay? And so every time we give a scenario regarding the kupa, we have to try to figure out, how does that apply to the woman? So if you're telling me now that the kupa in the case of Shammai and Hillel was one which was not examined, is that the same as a woman? So the Gemara asks exactly that question. And furthermore, a woman is nivdak. The woman examines herself, right? As we'll learn more, we'll talk more about that later today. But the woman examines herself. So came to shchichi badamim, kishena beduka damya. So the Gemara says, okay, but from a status position, she's considered like ena beduka, meaning she may do actual physical examinations, but because she bleeds and because the bleeding is on a regular schedule, she is legally like ena beduka. Okay, that's answer number two. Answer number three.
Wait. Why is she ena beduka?
Because she bleeds. Meaning that's just simply the nature of the woman.
Oh, okay.
She does a bedika, but because the blood is inevitable.
Right, it's inevitable.
Okay.
Where it's not inevitable for a
sheretz. Right, the sheretz, right. The sheretz doesn't have to be there. Nachon. Very good. Another explanation of what the difference is that Shammai and Hillel are agreeing by a kupa that's not covered. And keep so now you see. So if it's ena mechusa, if the chest is not covered, so it's very possible that the sheretz went in there earlier, and that's why we're going to go back and we're going to go lemafreya. In the case of Chizkia and Rav Yochanan, we cover the top of the barrel. So now once again mechusa echinafa. So you hear Chizkia. Chizkia makes perfect sense. In other words, I covered the top. Now, by the way, was it checked and covered?
No, that's a question.
I'm asking the question.
No,
I'm asking the question.
Right. We don't know.
Rashi insists. I'll tell you what Rashi says. Right. Rashi insists that it was checked and covered.
Oh.
Right.
And then how did he get it?
Okay, good. That's going to be the Gemara's question. But I'm just telling you though, this answer assumes that it was checked and then covered. So the Gemara says, "Hey, chenafa kagon shetash mishal yidei kisui." So the So it was checked and then covered. So how did it go in? Because what happens is every time we want to go into the chest, we open up the cover. Okay. So the hadumi di isha ketanav isha mechusahi. So the Gemara says, now isn't this now again? We have to compare. Meaning, it's not. We're not just simply looking to compare. We have to compare the kupa to the woman because that's exactly how the conversation between Hillel and Shammai went. How is this case different than the woman? And you know, and Hillel responds. But if we're now talking about a case where it's mechusa, the Gemara says the isha mechusa, isn't the woman covered? So kevin deshchicha badam and kishen mechusa damya. So again, the Gemara's similar line of reasoning. Look, for her, bleeding is inevitable. It's a cycle. So therefore, she, even though she may be physically mechusa, but status-wise, legally, she's ena mechusa. Ibai sema, or we're going to give now a fourth possible answer. So the Gemara's fourth answer goes like this: if we're just talking about a single chest, we're going to be in total agreement. Shammai and Hillel are going to be totally agreeing that I open up the chest, I find a sheretz inside. Sheretz has been there earlier. It's got to be. Where else did it come from? Good. In the case of Chizkia and Rav Yochanan, where they're arguing about an entire house. Meaning, I found the sheretz in one corner of the house. Sorry. I've been dealing with taharas in one corner of the house, and later that day I found a sheretz in another corner of the house.
So how do you get become tamei? There's no contact.
Okay, now. So the Gemara says, Vahakupa kamar. Now this is a difficult answer because first of all, when you read the words of Chizkia and Rav Yochanan, they're actually saying the word kupa. So that seems very strange that you want to tell me that we're talking about an entire house. And Ben, I'm not ignoring your question. I'm just saying you'll see that what the Gemara now says is going to answer both of our questions. Va'kupa kamar hachi kamar kupa shenisham shibat taharas bezavis bayzu v'tiltalu bezavis acheres v'nimtza sheres bezavis acheres. And so the Gemara says like this. Here's what Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan are arguing about. I had a chest and I kept it in that corner of this room. And I've been working with this chest and I kept Taharas in there and I took Taharas out. And then what I did is I pick up the chest and I move it to another corner of the house. And then after moving the chest to another corner of the house, now I open up the chest and now I find that there's a sheretz inside of it.
And the chest has been closed the entire time?
Well, it's been open, it's been closed. I've been working with it. But I moved it from one place to another. And this takes us to a discussion of the following.
But you didn't realize you moved it. You kind of did
that. No, I know. What do you mean I didn't realize? I moved it. Intentionally.
In other words, a sheretz in it before.
When I was in that corner, there was no sheretz.
There was no
At
sheretz.
Least I didn't observe one.
Okay.
I didn't observe one. And then when I moved it to that corner, I saw the sheretz. So, it's a fair question, but I'm going to assume no. I'm going to assume no. Now, this takes us to a discussion of the following. Look. Shratzim only give off tumah when they're dead, right? We agree. There's nothing to disagree with. That's a fact. So I understand that if this box was in that corner the whole time, and I find a sheretz in that box, so it's been there earlier. It's got to have been there earlier when there's nothing much to talk about. But when I move it to a new location in the house, what do I assume now at that point in time? Meaning, do I take tumah? So to say, which is a stationary item. It's an immobile item. It's a dead item. Do I take a sheretz and do I assume that sheretz is basically moved from place to place? The wording of the Gemara is, lo mechazkin tumah mimakom lamakom. I don't presume tumah moves around from one location to another. Meaning tumah is generally a stationary item. So if the tumah was found in that corner, fine. Fine. But if I move the box to that corner and I find the tumah in that corner, do I assume that it was there also?
I don't know.
Right.
That the Gemara is now saying is the machlokes between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan.
Wait,
where Rav Yochanan will say yes, meaning michas kinan, meaning if there was tumah over there, there was tumah over there as well,
right,
even though we didn't notice it over there. And Chizkiah says no. Chizkiah says I only will presume the tumah is in that corner over there where I found it. So now this leads the Gemara now to the discussion of, do we do that? Do we assume that tumah moves from one location to another? Umi mechazkinan v'hatanan. Now we're going to learn together a number of Mishnayos. Mishnah in Taharas. You know, we're making a siyum of Shas Mishnayos for Shavuos. So up until I think yesterday, Masechta Taharos did not have somebody learning it. So I don't know if that's changed today, but I know that because the shul called me up. I took another masechta. I didn't take Taharas. But anyway, so but we're going to be learning together now one Mishnah in Taharas. Actually, two Mishnahs in Taharas. Okay, so here's the following Mishnah in Taharas. Naga be'echa b'layla ve'ein idea imchai emes. So lamacha hishkimu matzo emes. Okay, I'm going to avoid making morbid jokes. I'm tempted, but I'm going to avoid it. What happens is the following. Okay, you went to bed, and there was a guy next to you, guy, girl, either way, and you made contact with that person sometime over the course of the night, and unfortunately this morning that person did not wake up. Okay, found dead. And I know, right, a lot of issues, obviously, but right now we'll just strip away all the emotional issues, and we're just going to deal with one clinical issue is, are you tummy?
Well, then answer your question.
Yes.
Why don't you get
smut
oil anyway without touching the guy?
So you walked out. You walked. Okay, in other words, you're right. In other words, or it was outside. Okay, in other words, just to distill the whole issue.
No, the question is not that. The question is, when did he become tummy?
Right. To distill the whole issue, it really just comes down to one question and one question only. Meaning, you know, going to bed that night, you know he was alive. And you know, waking up in the morning, he didn't. Okay? So, in other words, there was one point where he was alive, and there was another point he was dead, and there was a whole night where you don't know when that changed. Okay? And you know you touched him at one point during the evening. Okay? So,
and good. He may have touched the Taharas in between. Before that.
Right.
That's the question.
Well, the question is a very simple one. Are you tummy? Okay? So, Naga Becha Balayla Veni Odeim Chayim Meis, Lamacha Hishkim Omatsu Meis, Rameir Metayer Vechacham Imitamim. So a mayor says, you're tahor. The chachamim say, you're tamei. Why? Shekol ha-tameos kishas mitziasan. Because as is. As is. Right now, how do I see him? Unfortunately, he's dead. That means I have a whole night where I don't know what his status was. Take the current situation, the as-is situation, and move it back. And move it back. So in other words, the assumption is going to be that he was dead the whole night. The assumption, therefore, is going to be, I'm tummy.
This could be when there's a melchama, everyone's sleeping outside.
Okay, whatever. You know, again,
there's too much nigger, not too much
office. Yeah, I mean,
that's why you
But the Tani Allah, now, on this Mishnah in Taharos, not only are we going to learn together Mishnah in Taharos, we're also going to learn a Brisa as well. Okay? Kishas Mitziasan, Uve Makom Mitziasan. Now, all this is true, but when, not only was it as is, meaning he's dead and I'm going to go back, but only if I touched him while he was there in that very location. Meaning, let's say, over the course of the night I touched him, I know I touched him for sure. It just all happened to me that I know I touched him, he was upstairs. Okay? And again, it was night, everyone was sleeping, I thought he was alive, whatever. I don't know. And then later that morning he was discovered dead, but he was discovered dead downstairs. Which is, wait, 1 second. Give me a moment. And he was discovered dead downstairs. Okay. The Braisa then says, no, you're not Tame. Meaning because, yes, it's true you touched him. And yes, it's true he died over the course of the night. And yes, it's true we don't know when he died. But it's unlikely that he died upstairs. And then post-mortem, he took a stroll downstairs. It's unlikely. Right? Challenging. Now, so you see what the problem is? The Braisa says very clearly that that Tuma is a stationary concept. That I'll assume Tuma is true in one location, but I won't assume that Tuma is true in two different locations.
Sheretz could be carried in a box by somebody else. The person is like,
perfect. I'm with you. I agree. The Gemara, your point is very valid, and the Gemara seems to be looking at this so fundamentally, so rigidly, without seeing that difference. I'm with you. I enjoy your point. V'chite mahani mila l'Yisrael v'aval l'tlos talinan, and the Gemara makes a suggestion. Well, maybe that Braisa, when it says that it has to be in the same location, that only prevents you from being vadai tame. But maybe, you're suffic tame. Maybe. So the Gemara says vatanam, but that's just simply, it's not true. It's simply not true. Vatanam, macha shenim says malei chulda, o shvura tahara, shakal tames kishas mitziasan. Let's say I have a needle. No, it happens to be that I know the history of this needle. Needle was tame. It was tame. And I find this needle on top of a whole bunch of other needles. Now, okay, but when I found this needle on top of other needles, it was either rusted or it was broken. Now, as a basic rule regarding kelim, once the kli no longer has its function, the tumah goes away. When I find this needle, I find it in the state of either broken or rusted. So, says the Braisa, Oshavur Tahor Shekol HaTumah Kishas Mitziasan. Again, as is. Meaning, it's currently, when I find it, what condition did I find it in? Broken. Meaning Tahora. So therefore, I extend it back. I move that status back. And I assume that's been the case now, as far back as we can go. So, V'yamai lema haimi karmacham al yasiv ashahu deha ale chaluda. Now, again, why do I do that? Why don't I assume the other way? Meaning, if I know that this needle, one point historically, was tamei, it was a tummy needle, so why don't I take that status and move it forward? And why don't I now assume that this needle, although currently, is rusted or broken, but maybe when it landed on top of this pile of other needles, it was tummy. Ve'atanan, and furthermore, the Gemara says, Ve'otanan, matza sheret saruf al gabe azesim. Ve'chein matlis hamehumam. Let's say I find a burnt sheretz, meaning not just a dead sheretz, but a dead, burnt sheretz, on top of olives. Now, had the sheretz been dead, but fresh dead, right? If you'll What a great image. But if had the sheretz been fresh, so then it would have been a source of tumah. But now that it's burnt, it no longer is a source of tumah, and it's on olives. And on matlis amahumam, or I find. And matlis amahumam, or I find a garment that did belong to a zav, and was tameh, but now is all worn out, and is therefore no longer tameh. Tahor, the olives will be tahor. Shekol atameh kishas mitziasan. Because again, what's the principle? As is, meaning I found it in a state of it being tahor. The sheretz was burned, therefore tahor. The beged of the zav is worn down, therefore tahor. And therefore, whatever it currently is go, I go back and I move it back. The way I find it is what I assumed is how it always was. Now, the Gemara says, I'm sorry, I'm rereading. Kishas mitziasan bein lekula bein lechumra over makom mitziasan avar shalom b'makom mitziasan misraf lo sarfina mit la talina. Now look, you just quoted me the case of the needle, and you just quoted me the case of the sheretz, but there was no movement in either of those cases. So maybe in those cases I'll agree with you that I find it currently in a state of being tahor. Fine, I'll go back and I'll say it was tahor also. But maybe in the case of movement, like the case of the kupa being moved from one corner to another, maybe over there, we'll say tameh. Tameh mishum safek, meaning safek tumah. Because don't forget about the case of the contact with the dead body. Where there we said that if it moves, you touched it not here but in a different place, you're not going to be tameh. So maybe what we're going to say is that if it moved, you'll be tameh, but not vada, but safek. So the Gemara says, "V'chitem k'shatz mitziyasan ben l'kula ben l'chumar makom mitziyasan." Aval shalom ben makom mitziyasan misraf lo sarfina mit la talin v'atnan. The Gemara says, "I'm going to give you one more case to consider, and this is a brisa. Oh, it is a brisa in taharas. So we're still in taharas. Kikar agabe hadaf. I have a ledge. I have a loaf of bread on the ledge. Umadav tameh munach tachtav. Now, right underneath the shelf, there is a garment that was worn by a zav." So the garment is tameh. So, right, so this is a, we have a whole story over here. A whole sequence of events. This is real detective work. A loaf of bread on top of a ledge. Madaf. Right, madaf, Rashi explains, is a reference to a garment that's tameh, that was worn by a zav, right underneath. And then, what happens is, later that day, I find the bread on the floor, right in front of the madaf. Okay. Now a little bit of detective work. What happened? So kikar agabe adaf madaf tameh munach tachtav afa pishim nafla iyavsha ela imke naga. Now had the loaf of bread fallen off the ledge, right, the laws of gravity would dictate that it actually touched the madaf and then rolled out in front of the madaf, even though that's true, tahora. The ruling is the bread is tahora. Shani Omer Adam Tahor Nichnas L'Sham, and not La Ashomer Bar Elisha Lo Nichnas Adam Sham. Because what I'm going to say is, even though I don't know this to be so, is that someone came along, someone who's Tahor came along, picked up the loaf of bread and placed it down in front of the Madaf. Now, the Amar Rabbi Lazar. So, and Rabbi Lazar says, and you know what? Let's even say a bigger Chiddush. Even when it was not a perfectly flat shelf, meaning even though the shelf was somewhat inclined, so now the explanation of the bread falling is even more plausible. I'm still going to say that somebody came along who was tired, picked up the loaf of bread and put it along down on the side. So lo nitzuchah ela makom madron. So the Gemara says, so now. You see what's happening over there? We don't assume tumah goes from one place to another place. We don't assume that. Meaning tumah is stationary, and if the tumah is found in one place, fine. But we don't move tumah along from one place to another place. So, right, that's what it seems from all this. So So the Gemara says, Hasam can take Tanya time. But the Gemara says, well, not so fast. Because over there, we're now on the top of Dalam and Base. Shani Omer, Adam Tar, Nechtas Lasham, and not La. Hachanami, Nema, Orivasa, Vishada. Well, the Gemara says, yeah, but over there, we could just simply say, we have a very good explanation. Along comes a person, and he picked up the loaf of bread. Meaning, that is also a plausible explanation. That's why over there, we're not going to make Tumah. We're not going to make the loaf of bread Tame. So the Gemara says, can't you say the same thing over here? Along comes a raven, and drop the sherets in the basket. So the Gemara says, you're comparing a raven to a person. Adam debikavana amrinan, or if the shalabakavana lo amrinan. Now, because look, it is fair to argue and speculate that along comes a person and he sees a loaf of bread on top of a shelf, he sees a tummy rag just below it, and so the person realizes, you know what? Let me do a good thing. I'll take the loaf of bread off the shelf before it falls off the shelf, and I'll place it right alongside. I'll do a good thing. But to make the argument that the raven's going to pick a sheretz up and drop it in the bucket after the chest is moved, yeah.
So in all these cases, you're taking the more lenient position.
Right. Michti. Hai kikar safik tuma brishos yachid v'chol safik tuma brishos yachid sveka tamei. So the Gemara says, look, in so many of these cases, what basically are we talking about? It may or may not have become tamei, right? In so many of these cases. So that's a suffix. And if we're talking about it in a house, so that's a suffix tamei b'rishos yachid. And we know the rule, suffix tamei b'rishos yachid is tamei. So the Gemara says, yeah, but this doesn't follow the rule. Why not? Davar she'en bo das lishol, v'chol davar she'en bo das lishol, ben b'rishos yachid, b'rabim, ben b'rishos yachid, sfeiko tahor. Because that rule of suffix is only true when it comes to people with intellect. Why? Because we go back to what we said yesterday. This whole rule of suffix tamei brishos yachid is all modeled after the sota. The sota is a person. We can ask the sota what happened. Now, obviously, whatever her response is going to be, we don't care. But in other words, you understand what I'm saying. Right? In other words, it's not going to change her status. But at least there was intellect. When, however, the suffix happens to items, to objects, to inanimate objects, it doesn't follow the rules of suffix tamei brishos yachid is tamei, but rather it's going to be tahor. The baisema, the Gemara says, or if you would like, we can give another answer as well. Hacha b'tumah derabanan tekanami diktani madaf tichsev aleini daf. Right, the could be that the case of the loaf of bread is dealing with only tumah derabanan, not tumah deraisa. It kind of intimates that because it uses the word madaf. Madaf is similar to the pasuk in Vayikra alei nidaf, like a drifting leaf. I know that was made into a popular book. The alei nidaf, and so therefore we could be more makel because it's just tumah derabanan. Good. That ends the whole discussion. That was a long discussion now about the Chizkiya Rav Yochanan scenario about finding sheretz in a chest, where Chizkiya says that we don't go back. Rav Yochanan says that we do go back, and the Gemara basically tries to figure out how is that different than Hillel and Shammai. Because Hillel and Shammai both agree that we do go back, and the status of the sheretz does go back. Okay, big discussion, but which I'm just gonna raise the issue. But it's really a big discussion. What we get out of this entire Gemara, right? A lot of it was complicated, and there were a lot of cases that we dealt with. But do you basically see what we got out of this entire Gemara as is? Meaning that's been a common theme throughout this entire Gemara. Meaning, however I find an item, I go back. And I take whatever its current status is, and I assume that that's been the status all along. Right? Don't we say the exact opposite by the Nida?
Right.
I understand. This is a big issue.
No, but then we said it's different than the Nida. Hmm?
We said the case of the Kupa is different than the Nida. But we had a whole bunch of other cases. Right, the case of touching the dead body, the case of the needle on top of the other needles, the case of the burnt sherets, the case of the loaf of bread on top. Meaning, we had a lot of cases, and the general theme throughout most of these cases is as is. Whatever the current status is, we go back.
I
In the case of Nida, we don't go back.
Right.
Meaning, certainly Shammai says we don't go back. And even Hillel, right? Midrabanan, he goes back. But by Nida, it's just the opposite. We don't go back. Meaning, we assume that this status of Nida is brand new status. Okay. So it is something to think about. You know, and you want to look into it. It's how come in all these cases we say, right, in fact, I'll quote the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it, right? Kol, where is it? Kol ha-tameos kishas mitziasan. However I find it, that's what I assume, has been true all along. Okay, right, good. Let's go on.
Chacham imam im loki... A lot more transient and changeable
right,
than an
inanimate
object.
Right. Your status is a constant status of flux.
Right.
No, I hear you.
So with these items, we got the same ending that whether it was tameh or whether it was tahar, it was always tameh.
Right. In other words, I assume whatever its current status is what the status that's always been. Even though I know at some earlier point in time, it was a different status.
Isn't it true that by the Nida, she is the only one who can determine when it started?
Correct, she'll determine. But, okay, I'll tell you what. It's worth discussing, but I just want to go on, because I do want to finish a certain amount. So the Gemara first quotes a Braisa, and it's just going to get us through the position of the Chachamim, right? Which is basically kind of like a compromise position between Shammai and Hillel. The Chachamim Amar Lo Kedivrei Zev Lo Kedivrei Zev Lo Kedivrei Shammai Shelo Asa Siag LeDvarav. Look, Shammai, he made no fence around his position. No Siag MiDeRabbanan. Meaning she's a Nida right now. How about a minute ago? She wasn't. Like, in other words, he may be right, but like I see good reason to make a get there, like a rabbinic fence. And v'lo k'divrei Hillel shehifriz al midosav. And Hillel, he just went out of control. Now, I don't mean that in a mean way. I know it sounds rough, but with the way I'm saying it. But that's basically what the Gemara is saying. It's too much. Meaning, and by the way, Aaron, this is where it sounds like Hillel also. It sounds like he also made a siag, but it was just too big. Meaning, you're going to go back to the last time she did an examination? That's too much. So Ella me'es leis me'metas ayam me'pikidam me'metas ayad me'es leis. So therefore, we're going to strike a balance, which is 24 hours or the last time she checked herself, whichever is the lesser of the two. So me'es leis me'metas ayad me'pikidam me'kidam ketzad. So bat gatzma be'echa b'shabbos. So let's say she did an examination on Sunday. And she didn't examine on Monday or on Tuesday. On Wednesday she did an examination. We're not going to say that she's tummy all the way going back to Sunday. Let's say she checked herself the first hour of the day, and then second, third hour, and the first bedika was fine, and then she did a bedika, let's say on the fourth hour of the day, and she turns out to be tameh. Now we're not going to go back 24 hours. We'll go back to the examination she did 4 hours ago. So the Gemara says, now that's the end of the braisa ad kan. Now the Gemara says, Pshita came to Bat Gatzma B'Shas Rishona Matzah Tahara L'Metamin L'Meis Leis. So the Gemara says, now, isn't that obvious? So I did the Tanim Meis Leis Me'metas Ayad Me'pkila B'Kida Tanam Me'pkila B'Kida Me'metas Ayad Me'es Leis. So to which the Gemara's answer basically is, yes, it is obvious. But once we wanted to make the point that the 24 hour is going to cut into the last examination, so then we went to the other scenario as well, where if she did an examination within 24 hours, that cuts out some of her 24 hours. Okay. Amar Rava, my time of the Rabbanan. What's the reason behind the Chachamim? Okay, last exchange of the morning that we're going to do. What's the reason behind the Chachamim? So Isha Margeshas Batzma. So the Gemara goes back to that Svar of Hargasha. Well, if had the blood come out any earlier, she would have felt it. So Amar Lei Abaye. So Abaye says to Rabba, Im kein tehei dai shaita. So what are you telling me? That what kind of argument are you telling me? If that's true, so then dai shaita, so then Shammah is right. So then don't go back 24 hours, don't go back 1 hour, don't go back 1 minute. Meaning if the bleeding is accompanied with a hargasha, so that means that her status changes now. So Rabba lechadu de labayu debaye. So Rabba, he wanted to sharpen Abaye, meaning he knew he didn't give Abaye the right answer, and he just wanted to test Abaye just to make sure Abaye was listening, and he wanted to sharpen Abaye. Okay, so now, why do we go back 24 hours? Okay, so stay tuned. Meaning, the Gemara now is going to go into what is the basis for those 24 hours. Okay, we'll stop over here. And tomorrow we'll pick it up with the with that and the rest of Daf Hey. Okay, I'm going to take a little vacation. Okay, and where do people go vacate? So we vacation in North Miami Beach. Cannot think of a better place for a person to go to have a mini vacation. No, I live in Boca, so where am I supposed to vacation? I'm not here for Yontif. Okay, so but I have more than adequate coverage for Yontif, more than adequate. And I thank Stuart in advance for taking care of the daf over these next 3 days. And we good. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Have a great Yontif. And I'll come back. Emir Sashan.